morning. Welcome to church. We are really pleased to be here and worship with you today. Why don't we stand? We're going to start with "I Could Sing of Your Love Forever." Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I will sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen a light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Amen. Amen. God, we invoke your presence here today. We are glad to be able to worship you. We bring these songs to you, and we just want to love you and return the love that you've shown to us in our lives. You are beautiful, and we love you so much, God. We bring this worship to you now. In Jesus' name.
Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing.
Powerful,
so powerful, your glory fills the skies. Your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing.
Beautiful one,
beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing.
You've opened my eyes.
You've opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with this love, because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
You've opened my eyes. Sing again.
You've opened opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with this love, because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing.
You've opened my eyes.
You've opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You've captured my heart with this love, because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
Amen.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 96, verses 9 through 13. Worship the Lord in splendor of all his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The word is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound in all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in his righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness.
Interesting. If we don't worship him, creation will. Mm-hmm. If we don't worship him, creation will. I want to tell you a quick story before I pray. You mind?
Go ahead.
Okay. I got the okay from Seth. I'm fine. Years ago, my wife and I had traveled across the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. Got to the other end of it, and there's a place called the Luray Caverns. And we were down in those caverns, and they had an organ set up down in that cavern that actually made sounds from the vibrations of the rocks. And how much that scripture verse just woke up my spirit in saying, you know, if we don't praise him, creation will. And even the rocks, I'll never let a rock outpraise me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are capable and able, and we thank you for that privilege we have of worshiping you. For you are so worthy to be praised and glorified and magnified from within our lives, from within our hearts, from in the way we live, Lord Jesus. And may you, God, be pleased, even with a sweet fragrance in heaven, as we lift up our worship and praise to you this morning. Bless each one in this place this morning, Father. Again, let us leave different than we came by the power of your name. We commit the service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And we are we're going to be doing a little it's a little spin on the doxology. And we've played it a couple of times before, but I think God has placed it here in the order of songs for this particular moment, as we lift our voices with creation, with all the creatures here below, we praise God together. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise him. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Lift your voices high and worship our God. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Come and magnify the Lord, our living God. Praise
praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above me, heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, voices high and worship our God. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Come and magnify the Lord, our living God.
Praise God.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the ride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's fight, a war with hate. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. I can face tomorrow.
because he lives, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. You can be seated.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you all for the good singing this morning. We'll get to some more singing in just a little bit in your hymnals and your choruses in just a moment. You can see right now in your bulletin, along with some of the props that have been set up already in the foyer and a little bit on the platform, that we are coming into Vacation Bible School Week. We have not done this to this extent as we usually have done every year since 2019. It's been 3 years. So praise the Lord that we can do this year. What I'm going to ask a couple things of you today is if you could remember our VBS program throughout the week in prayer, praying for the entirety of it, our teachers, our helpers, the children, the families, everything that goes into bringing about a Vacation Bible School Week. As the Lord puts us on your hearts, would you please hold us before the throne of grace in prayer? What I'd like for us to do right now also is to devote the next few minutes of our service to that very thing, to prayer. I'm going to ask if two or three of you could offer a word of prayer, not all at the same time, but to offer a word of prayer for Vacation Bible School Week. I think of those who have labored so faithfully and diligently unto the kingdom to bring this week to fruition. I think of the families that will be walking through our doors, the children, that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it would be shared with them in an age-appropriate fashion so they can understand who Jesus is, what he has done on our behalf, and how much he so loves us, that they would hear the gospel. Maybe that the Lord would have planned for us divine appointments this week with the children, maybe the parents, those who drop the children off or pick them up, or in our closing program Friday evening, that the Lord would have something very special planned at that time, and that we would be found faithful in walking through that door. And that as the gospel venture progresses forward this week, that lives would be changed for all eternity because of the investment this week. And always, it is always a privilege to serve Jesus. And it is a privilege to share the gospel that has changed our lives. And may spiritual work happen here this week. Well, that's enough from me. To those of you who are joining us online this morning, welcome. Thank you for being a part of our worshiping community today. We're going to be praying for our VBS program right now. So, that being said, can I have two of you, maybe three of you, to offer a word of prayer for VBS week? And I'll close us in prayer. Let's pray together. Thank you.
envisioned that they'd ever know, but Father, that you would divinely provide to them an understanding of your help, and that these young people would know that they need to give their lives entirely to you for a lifetime that is indeed worth living because they know you. Thank you for the vision and inspiration that folks have had, and we pray that their vision might be accomplished and that great things would be done this week for your honor and for your glory alone. We pray for strength and endurance in the heat and in the potential calamities of confusion and lots of children. I pray that you'll give endurance to those who are here. Thank you, Father, divinely, that you would supply in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, it's such a loss to the fallen world. There's so many things drawing at the hearts and minds of children these days. So many of them are the wrong things. And I pray, Lord, that you would give these doors open and give these children here, and give children in here, that they need to hear you, they need to know you. And I thank you so much for all the hard work and preparation that's done by so many people to make DBS happen. There's a lot of love and there's a lot of faithfulness there. And if just one child comes to know you, Lord, it's all worth it. And we just thank you for all their dedication.
Gracious Lord, would you hear the prayers of the saints this day as we intercede this hour on behalf of our VBS program. Lord, as I add my prayers to the saints, Lord, I pray that your word would go forth this week with power and authority, that it would be led of your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you watch over us? Lord, would you care for us and protect us? Lord, I pray that the word would fall on fertile soil, O Lord, that lives would be changed for all eternity. Father, I pray that we would have opportunity and occasion to water seeds that might have already been planted. And Lord, if it would bring you such great pleasure that you would allow us to see harvest also, we're going to trust in you for that. Father, may your hands be upon our laborers. Bless them richly, Lord, for their hours and hours of preparation and work. For we know that you have told us in your word that our labor is not in vain. Lord, we invest unto eternity. Have your way with us, O Lord. Your blessings upon this ministry, we pray, in and through the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, friends, would you find your hymnal and or your chorus book, and let's sing some of your favorite music this morning. Anything you'd like? Number, which book you in, Ed? All right, the blue chorus book. Let's start off with number 33 in our chorus book. Thank you. God gets the glory. All right. Ian, I see a hand back there, buddy. Number 382, is that what you said? 382. Hold on, we're checking. 382. Do we know it? Do we know it? You don't want to have me up here leading song. We don't know, okay? Number 382, we're in the hymnal. Oh, that's a great one. And for those of you who are joining us at home on the internet, if you do have a hymnal out front of you, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled, Be Thou My Vision. Let's go ahead and sing all four verses. 382, let's worship. Do one more. Jack, you got one for us, buddy? 554, and you are in the hymnal. All righty, 554. I'll fly away. Hey, that's a toe tapper. Let's sing that together. For those of you joining us at home, we are singing together the hymn entitled, I'll Fly Away. So sing along with us also as you hear the organ music online, and if you have a hymnal out front of you. It has three verses. Let's sing them all. Let's worship. Thank you. have that promise from Scripture, don't we? A home being prepared for us in glory, even now. Jesus is coming back for us. And when he hears the command of his Father, Son, go get them, we will join him in the air, and we will be together with our Lord forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Gentlemen, would you join me up front at this time, and we prepare to take up our morning offering. We will worship our Lord now with the presentation of our gifts, our tithes, and that which we have prayed about and determined beforehand, that we will come into his house this day, and we will worship him in this way. So as the ushers make their way to your family, drop your gift in the plate and worship your Lord. Gracious Lord, for this part of our service that now we set aside for the bringing forth of our gifts, Lord, we do this with a heart of joy and overflowing thanksgiving. Lord, we speak this day and we give testimony that we are a blessed people. And Lord, we do not even think of it from the material or financial perspective, though you have blessed us there also. Lord, we think of that which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the incredible, the indescribable gift that you are to us and all that we have in you and because of you. Lord, now receive the gifts of the saints. We give it to you, worshiping in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, friends, would you find your way with me this morning to Psalm 110 in the text of Scripture, Psalm 110. We are studying together on Sunday morning the Royal Psalms. We've been here for a few weeks, and we'll spend today and then next week here also and show you exactly how Psalm 110 fits into the fifth book of the Psalms, and why it comes right in the middle of those that precede it and those that come after it. There's a reason for that order. We'll get to that next week. But today, Psalm 110. Can we pray together? And then we will study God's Word together. Our blessed Lord, our Redeemer, at this moment, with your word opened before us, with the sacred text with our eyes to feast upon, to read the words inspired without error, and words that will never lead us astray. O Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in our midst this day direct us into the pathway of truth and right thinking. Lord, I pray that we would see your hand involved in our lives in understanding the word. Father, I pray that you would give to us wise hearts, minds that are able to receive and comprehend divine truth. And Lord, have your way with us now. We thank you for your word, the precious, precious word of God. Bless it to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. William Howard Taft was the 27th president of our country. He served in that role in that capacity from the years 1909 to 1913. He served for one term. He served right before World War I. 8 years after that, William Howard Taft became the 10th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. And he served in that capacity from 1921 to 1930. He was appointed to that position by then President Warren Harding. He is the only person in our nation's history that has ever served in that capacity in two very significant, prominent roles. He wore several hats in service to his country. So in one decade, he would have been referred to as Mr. President. In the next decade, he was referred to as Mr. Chief Justice. That's quite an accomplishment, for sure. To hold just one of those positions is quite an accomplishment, but he would hold two of them, and that is very, very impressive. At one time, he was the highest ranking chief executive in our country, and then he was also the highest ranking jurist also. Some folks just know how to wear two hats and to serve in different capacities. Others have done this also, but with a little bit less honor attached to those positions. You might be familiar with the name Fidel Castro, that former Marxist communist dictator of the island nation of Cuba. For those of you who are here this morning, and you do go back far enough, you will remember the story of the Cuban Missile Crisis under the Kennedy administration, and the then threat of World War III. What you might not know about him, however, is the other hat that he wore. Most folks don't know this about him, but he had a career early on where he almost made it to the major leagues as a pitcher, if you can believe that. He pitched for his then baseball team at the University of Havana, where he was a student, and as the storyline goes, apparently had a very impressive curveball he did. So much so that he was even offered a contract by both the Pittsburgh Pirates and the then New York Giants, now San Francisco Giants. The Giants even offered him a $5,000 signing bonus, along with his contract, back in 1949. And he declined that offer. I guess he thought it would be more profitable to become a political revolutionary instead. Can you just imagine, however, the announcer over the PA system announcing the positions for the game and now pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates, making his way to the mound. Yes, that radical revolutionary from Cuba with a killer curveball, Fidel Castro. Some guys just know how to wear two hats. Let's try one more. Probably didn't see this one coming. His name was Jorge Mario Bergoglio. Jorge was a native of Buenos Aires, Argentina. He was the son of immigrant Italian parents. Young Jorge held a number of different positions as a young man growing up, one of which was as a bouncer in a nightclub and bar. Interesting career path for sure. You might know him today by another name, his current name, Pope Francis of the Roman Catholic Church. That's quite a pathway resume, to say the least. Hey, some folks just know how to wear two hats at the same time. Well, maybe not at the same time, but Psalm 110. Let's take a look at this morning's resume, if you will, in our continuing study of the Royal Psalms, the Messianic Psalms. Last week, when we were together, we saw how the one who is being written of here is going to be the prophesied one who would come to rule the nations. He is one who will execute judgment over the nations when he comes again. He is one who will have a global rule, the scriptures tell us. By the time we get into the New Testament text, we'll see this in just a bit, we will see that the individual that the psalmist is referring to is clearly none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Large swaths of this psalm will be fulfilled at a later time. Some of it has been fulfilled already, specifically the first part of verse 1. But there's a verse that we did not cover last week as we were in Psalm 110, and that was verse 4. So that's where we're going to pick up today. So our victorious warrior is going to wear another hat, if you will, or he will have another position. Let's look at it together. It's a short psalm, only has 7 verses, so let's go ahead and read it all again to get the context. Psalm 110, the Bible reads like this: "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Melchizedek. "The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath." Notice the future in all of these. "He will execute judgment amongst the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head." Psalm 110, a royal psalm, a messianic psalm. By the time we get to the pages of the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament clearly reveal to us that this is speaking of none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 110, as we stated before, is the one psalm in the pages of the Old Testament that is used more than any other psalm within the text of the New Testament. Jesus would use it of himself. The Apostle Paul would use this in reference in a number of his letters. And of course, the writer of the book of Hebrews will use this extensively. Yahweh says to the Lord, sit at my right hand. And that is where our Lord Jesus Christ is right now, until he makes all of his enemies a footstool. Those days, in their fullest measure, are still yet future. These are days that are God's eschatological calendar. These are the days when our Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And he is coming again, and he will rule here on earth, literally, physically, visibly, and powerfully. And the reason that we take his second coming again literally like this is because he came the first time literally and physically and visibly and powerfully. And when he does come again, it will be that he will inaugurate and he will initiate that kingdom period for the nation of Israel. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, this coming Messiah and his accompanying kingdom were written about not only through the pages of the prophets, but all through the Psalms also. And Psalm 110 is just one of them. There was this coming king, and there was this coming kingdom that they awaited. And they anticipated this. And being the good Jews that they were in century one, Jesus and, well, his apostles, even after his own death and resurrection and prior to his ascension in Acts chapter 1, before he told them of the coming Holy Spirit, before he told them that they would go to all nations and to make disciples of all nations, Peter asks him the question in Acts chapter 1, Lord, is it at this time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's the way they were thinking. That was what that question was about. Lord, is it at this time that you will initiate your kingdom program? Because the Old Testament prophets and the psalmists spoke about this time period. And it is that time period that we still await today, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again and initiates and establishes his kingdom here today. Our Jesus is coming back again. The psalmist tells us about this in Psalm 110. It's a royal psalm because it deals with the king. And when we get to the pages of the New Testament, we discover that the king that is being spoken of is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the coming victor. But not only that, take a look at verse 4 again. This says of the coming king, it says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Look what he calls him. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Yahweh had given an affirmation in the most definite way. He will not change his mind. Messiah is going to be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The name means the king of righteousness, or the king who is righteous. This is the first reference that we have at this point in this psalm of what the roles that Jesus will have. Now we ask the question, who is this fella Melchizedek? Good question. The first time that we come across him is in the book of Genesis. Actually, Genesis chapter 14. That's the first time we read of this character. Actually, it's Abram who crosses paths with him after he had been involved in a war with the Mesopotamian kings. Abram crosses paths with Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Salem means peace. Actually, that would be in reference to ancient Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem is not a part of the nation of Israel just yet. It would, at a later time, under the reign of King David, become their eternal capital. But at this time, it is the city of Salem. And Melchizedek is the king, and he is the priest of Salem. Keep your finger in Psalm 110. Go over with me, if you will, very quickly. We're not going to spend much time here. But if you could take a quick peek at Genesis chapter 14 and find verse 17 when you get there. So just a little, very, very brief. I promise we'll be brief. A little bit of background information on Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 and following says, after, meaning Abram now, okay, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, meaning Abraham. He blessed him. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now, suffice it to say that we're not going to be going into the Genesis story at all. That's not what today's message is about. Other than to say, this is the first time in Scripture that we run across this character by the name of Melchizedek. He will later be mentioned in the New Testament letter to the Hebrews, but he is a king. He is the king of Salem. He is a priest, the Bible says, priest of the Most High God. And this will now become our connecting point with Psalm 110. Melchizedek rules over Salem, Salem meaning peace, shalom, and the place where David would later rule and have possession of. And at that time, Jerusalem would become Israel's eternal capital. Melchizedek was a king. He was a priest of the Most High God. And this is the first time that we read of this thing called the Melchizedekian priesthood. Well, what is that? The Melchizedekian priesthood is this royal line of a king who is also a priest. Very interesting. Some scholars do not believe that this was his name, rather his title, because it is a compound word, Melech, king, Sedek, righteousness, king of righteousness. And scholars love writing about stuff like this and writing papers. No, this was not his name. This was his title. No, it wasn't his title. It was his name. I'll let them discuss that. Let's just call him Melchizedek. All righty? We don't know a great deal about him. He enters onto the pages of Scripture mysteriously. We read of him. He blesses Abram. He receives a tithe from Abram, and then he vanishes off the scene just as quickly. And then Abram honors him as being even greater than himself by giving to Melchizedek a tithe. Yet Abram was the founder of the nation of Israel. He was the recipient of the Abrahamic covenant. Yet he sees something in this interesting personage where he actually would pay a tithe to him. Dr. Alan Ross writes this. He says, Melchizedek is the only person whom Abram recognized as his spiritual superior. Abram accepted spiritual blessings from him in verse 19, and Abram paid him a tithe of 10% of all that he had in verse 20. Abram did this deliberately in full awareness of what he was doing. And now we move into Psalm 110. Melchizedek is brought up again. And our Jesus would be likened to him. Melchizedek would be a type of this king priest who would come at a later time. And we now know this king priest to be none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we see going on in this royal psalm, this messianic psalm? Something has been added to this equation of our Lord Jesus, who is coming back again, who will reign and who will rule over his kingdom, who will subdue nations under him, and he will be king over his theocratic kingdom. We have a coming royal conqueror, one who is going to rule the nations, who will be a victorious ruler. His rule will be universal. Any who oppose him will become his footstool. And now, this one, our Jesus, is also spoken of in priestly terms. The priesthood, similar to the Melchizedekian priesthood. And friends, today we do have an eternal high priest in heaven. Today. He has made an end to the Aaronic priesthood. He has made an end to the old covenant, to the old sacrificial system. He is king. He is priest. He will mediate a new covenant. The new covenant that was made in his blood, he spoke about it on the Passover meal, the Pesach, what we call the Last Supper, Luke chapter 22, verse 20 tells us about that. The new covenant in his blood. He is coming again as king. King Jesus is coming, and he is also our eternal high priest. And not only that, but think of this with me, if you will. Not only is he our high priest, but he is also our perfect sacrifice. Not only was he the priest who offers up the sacrifice, he is the sacrifice itself. He has put an end to the Aaronic, the Levitical priesthood. He has taken up the priesthood of the new covenant, and today we have one in the heavenlies who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession on our behalf today. That is what he is doing. He ascended on high. He was seated at the right hand of majesty. That doesn't mean that his work was done. As it relates, however, to his work on the cross, that is finished, tetelestai. That work is done, and the Father is satisfied with the work that was done. But the work that he does for us even now today is that of our intercessor, our high priest, our divine advocate. And as Satan comes and brings charges against you or against me, we have an advocate at the right hand of the Father who says, I've paid for that. I've taken care of that. That has been dealt with. Praise the Lord. There is one who brings charges against us. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. But at the right hand of the Father, there's also one who is our advocate, and his name is Jesus the Christ. He is coming back to establish his kingdom, and he is forever our eternal high priest. He is in the line of the Melchizedekian priesthood. One who is king and one who is priest. He is our advocate. And because we have such an advocate in glory, we can always come to the Father, knowing that there is one who is there in our stead, who has paid the penalty for our sins, who speaks on our behalf. And today, when we come to him, 1 John 1:9, confessing our sins to him. He is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us of our sins through the finished blood of Christ on the cross, administered by our faithful high priest, and his name is Jesus the Christ, and he's coming back again. So Psalm 110 tells us about this role of the king and the priest. This would have been a very unusual thing in ancient Israel, because kings and priests did not come from the same line. Kings would have come from the line of the kings, the line of Judah. Priests would have come from the line of the priests, from Aaron, from Levi, the Levitical priesthood. And the two would never mix. But in Christ Jesus, both come together. And we have one who's coming back again to establish his kingdom. Yet today, he has made perfect sacrifice for our sins. And all who turn to him today in faith, believing that what he did there on our behalf, can have the forgiveness of our sins. As we share the gospel with others and have occasion and opportunity to do so, a part of the precious gospel message that unfortunately many times goes unnoticed or unspoken is the necessity of repentance. The repentance of our sins. The turning away from and the turning to. The turning away from the way that a life has been lived and a life has been thought, and we now turn to Jesus Christ and we begin to follow that direction. We receive what has been given to us. We believe by faith, through grace, that this has been done for us. And today, people need the Lord. They need to turn away from the things of the world and turn to Christ and Christ alone. And only he is the one who offers one sacrifice, the final sacrifice that is sufficient for all of our sins. If you are here today or if you are hearing me online today, you have never done that. Know that there is a king who is coming back, but there is an eternal high priest in heaven today who is ready to forgive of sin and welcome you with open arms into his family. If you've never considered that before, would you consider the claims of Christ for your life today? Today. We turn to him and to him alone. And as Satan would want to bring accusations against us, we know that the finished work on the cross was sufficient for everything. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul puts it. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 8. I'll start at verse 31. And the sufficiency of the sacrifice made on our behalf by our high priest. Verse 31 of Romans 8 says, "What then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Look at verse 33. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised. And look, who is at the right hand of God and who indeed is interceding for us." That is our high priest. And that is what he is doing for us right now. And then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No. "In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And look at verse 38. "For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The work has been done. The sacrifice is sufficient. The Father is satisfied. Our sins can be forgiven. Repent and turn to him. And today we have an eternal high priest in the heavens. And the Bible tells us that if we confess, if we agree with God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us our sins. And he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the scripture says. Our high priest who functions in that capacity, the one who is the sin bearer and the advocate on our behalf, and his name is Jesus, and he's coming back again. And Jesus is our only one. He's the only one who can make intercession on our behalf. His mother Mary cannot do that. The saints of generations past cannot do that. He alone, through his shed blood, is the only one who can before the throne of the Almighty. No angel has that position. Christ alone is the God-man who mediates and intercedes between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Christ and Christ alone. Jesus is our great high priest. He mediates for us today. He mediates a new covenant, and he is coming again. And when he comes again, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow as to who he is, that he is Lord. He is coming again as conqueror, and all who will sit in opposition to him will find themselves under his feet as his footstool. His name is our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and he is coming again. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, thank you that there is one in glory that we can call upon this day for the salvation of our eternal souls and for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the divine transaction that took place on the cross when he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. We thank you for the divine exchange that he took on our sins, and we have been credited and imputed with his righteousness. And today we can stand before our holy God declared innocent. Lord, for that we thank you. We thank you that he is at your right hand today, our Father, and that your faithful Son awaits that time when you will tell him to go capture his bride. Until that day, Lord, may we be found faithful. Faithful in our deportment, faithful in how we speak and handle ourselves to a lost and dying world. Lord, that when you come back again, may you find faith in this place. And Lord, may the precious, precious message of the gospel go forth from this place also. May Jesus be glorified. May he have the place of prominence and preeminence. Lord, thank you that we have a risen Savior, that we have a soon coming King, one who will establish his theocracy, and we will rule with him. And Lord, thank you today that Jesus is our high priest. We praise your name today, O Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, would you find number 106 in your hymnal this morning? We're going to conclude with this, number 106. Those of you, this is a great Fanny Crosby hymn. Those of you who are joining us at home, we're going to be singing the hymn, Praise Him, Praise Him. And we selected this one today because of what's written in verse 3 of Jesus being our prophet and priest and king, and the Christ who is coming again. So it summarizes Psalm 110 for us. Let's do verse 1 and verse 3. It's it's hymn number 106. And those of you joining us at home, we're going to be singing Praise Him, Praise Him. Please stand with me. Let's sing together. Let's worship. Thank you. dear friends, before I let you go this morning, please do be in prayer for our Vacation Bible School program this week. Gracious Lord, dismiss your congregation, I pray, with your good blessings, with your hand of strength and courage and boldness, with joy and with gladness and with overflowing thanksgiving, for we are ones who call on the name of Jesus. Lord, have your way with us this day and the week before us. May we be found walking in the pathway of your blessings. May Christ be seen in and through us, and always to the glory of your great name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord.